Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
But I think the Sabres have really tried hard to send the message to Levi that they're not going to block his path. And there's going to be a route for him to become the starter of this team if he shows he's ready for it. And now I think, obviously, they're trying to sign him.
That is Elliot Friedman on the 32 Thoughts podcast. Devin Levi, eligible to sign with the Sabres at any time. His college season is not officially over, but it's over. I mean, his teammates are signing. There was a defenseman from Northeastern that signed with Montreal. I'm very hopeful about Devin Levi. There's something about being afraid to trade for a goalie because you're upset that you're afraid it's going to upset your college goaltender. Because that is what Friedman just said. Quote, they weren't thrilled by reports, the Sabres, that they were interested in adding a goaltender prior to the trade deadline because they've made it clear to Levi and his advisors there would be a legit route to the NHL. By the way, Sal, think of how that sounds. That sounds to me like they're giving Levi a chance to be in the NHL next season.
I don't doubt they do. I don't doubt they give Levi a chance to be in the NHL next season
and now compete for it.
I don't know if he will win that, or I don't want to come off as saying that they're lying. How legitimate of an opportunity he gets? Like, maybe, yeah, we're going to give him a chance, but he's got to blow us away to be able to do it, right? Not just win a job.
But that, to me, sounds like Levi, like, they're trying to sell it to Levi to sign here. And part of their pitch is, We're gonna open the door wide open for you.
I don't know if it's as much selling it. It's more of he's planning on signing here. All of a sudden, these reports come out. They're worried that they go, wait a minute. We're planning on going there.
Yeah.
Do we really want to do this? So it's not as much selling. I think the selling's already done to me. The selling's already done. He's planning on signing. You don't want to give him a reason to back out of that.
Right. But doesn't that kind of read like? Doesn't that kind of read like they won't do anything a goaltender this offseason?
Maybe,
because
yes.
If you trade for whoever, you go get a stopgap, an upgraded goaltender to pair with Lukanen for next year. Even if you want to tell Levi, hey, you'll have the chance to fight for a job, but you just traded what for a guy? I don't know who the example is here. A second-round pick for a goaltender or something to upgrade next season. Levi, I mean, if you're telling Levi legit route to the NHL and you were afraid to trade for a goaltender at the deadline because of that, I don't know. That's not a comfortable position to me if you're the Sabres, where you feel like you can't make a move at goalie if you want because Levi might show up and you have to make sure he has a chance to get to the NHL.
See, I said, I don't think that's their thought. I think their thought is we don't want to lose the possibility of him even signing here, so we can't plant the seed that he doesn't have an opportunity.
So they'll be willing to do it after he signs?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's how you operate. Aren't you
kind of lying to the player then, though?
No, you're still going to give him a chance. You're going to give him a chance. They weren't trying to get one now at the deadline, the guy that they know, but hey, you're going to have a chance. We get him under contract. We still make a move, but he's still got a chance to compete here. It doesn't mean they're getting a guy that's a bona fide starter necessarily.
But what is a chance for him? What does he see a chance
at? See, that's a great question. That's where I fall.
Friedman, by the way, he went on to say, we'll see where this goes on Thursday. Today's Thursday.
What's happening on Thursday?
Well,
Is today the day he's going to sign?
Maybe.
Supposed to sign? Maybe he knows something we don't.
He said Levi is thinking it over, and he's shown he's not afraid to consider non-traditional pathways, but he's clearly ready for professional hockey, and the Sabres have swiped right for the Tinder date. Those are Elliot Friedman's words, not mine.
All right. I love it.
Non-traditional pathways. What does that mean? Does that mean Europe? I have no idea what that means.
I think that just means not signing and going to free agency next
year. The traditional pathway is Rochester.
I think the traditional pathway is you sign with the team that drafted you. The non-traditional is do what Cal Peterson did. Do what Jimmy Vesey did.
Man, that would be crazy, though. Two more years? He's already maybe near NHL ready. Two more years? I'm very curious about what happens here because he is arguably the best goalie in college hockey history. That's arguable that he is.
And that's amazing.
The Sabres are maybe clearing the decks to make sure that he comes here, which on some level I get, but man, I just wouldn't want to sacrifice multiple years of my net because of that. Maybe Lukanen is the player to move off here at some point.
All right, we're going to head out to the Westhur Hotline right now. Special guest today, John Buchagross of ESPN, and we really thank him for his time today. Talking Sabres. We're talking about Devin Levi here.
Talking college hockey.
I know, college hockey, Devin Levi. John, it is Sal and Joe here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, boys. Always love talking to the two Irishmen.
For sure. Hey, we're talking about Devin Levi. We just heard Elliot Friedman's thoughts about, you know, what could happen here and even maybe the Sabres not wanting to upset Levi's camp about adding a goalie and what his path might be. It looks like everything's on track for him to sign in Buffalo. But, John, as you know, until the ink is dry, we're going to be a little bit nervous here.
Yeah, he can go back to school if he wants and then become a free agent next year and pick his team. Certainly has that option. He could kind of force the Sabres to trade him. We saw Adam Fox do that because he wanted to play in New York for the Rangers. Long Island kid. So, yeah, you know, Levi definitely does control things by going back to school this year. He gave himself a little bit more leverage on his future. And so, you know, I'm sure that the Sabres will try to placate him. He's not a sure thing. He certainly looks like a really good talent, smaller goalie, but seems like I'm really impressed with his hockey sense and his athleticism and his instincts, and certainly an organization that is in dire need of a goalie going forward. All the other pieces are in place, but they don't have the most important one, and that's a tough position to be in. So I think it's okay to wait on Levi and see what he does and get that contract, and then you can do what you want in terms of are we aggressive in the free agent market, bring a veteran in, or we're going to go with the kid and kind of work with his camp on what kind of development they see. You know, does he go to the American League? Does he get a full year in Rochester starting next year and work his way in? So it's going to be some nervous times. It always is when a college kid is 1 year away from choosing his own destiny.
And we just saw with Eric Portillo, the Sabres actually traded his rights because he was in the same situation. And obviously, he looked at Levi here. He looked at UPL here. But the future of goal in Buffalo, it's not just Levi now, it's what he becomes. You just mentioned it. He's not a sure thing. These guys usually take time at this position. When do you think it's maybe earliest possible for him to compete for a regular NHL job?
Well, he's ready to compete right now. I mean, he's better than just about anything they have probably right now. I mean, he's that solid. Certainly Craig Anderson has all the guile and the experience. Can't play a lot, but, you know, he's probably their most competent goalie right now in the organization. But, you know, he's the oldest player in the league. So, obviously his future is 1 year at a time. It might end this year. So he definitely can compete for a job in training camp as they're currently constructing. Now, whether they try to make a move or bring a guy in on the cheap to try to – obviously they need another guy to play 30 games. He can't come in next year and play 50 games. He's probably at best next year. You know, I don't know if he'd even play half of them. Probably close. So – they need another guy if they want to sniff the playoffs next year, which they should start to feel that way. You know, next year is when it really should start to ramp up. So, he can compete, but is that smart for a team trying to make the playoffs in year one?
Yeah, we're sniffing the playoffs next year. Like, we're kind of feeling like now that the two things they just need to do is, one, wait for a lot of their guys to grow, like Power, Quinn, a lot of the young guys. And two, right, like this goaltender point of like who's going to be in the net next year. Because otherwise, John, like I guess maybe they could make the playoffs this year still, but that's looking less and less likely. But right. Next year, it feels like if you just find, if you get your goaltenders right and the young guys grow, they should have a pretty good chance of breaking their playoff drought.
No, unquestionably, they have one of the best defensemen in the league who should be a Norris finalist this year. Tage Thompson is going to be, it appears to be, a 40-goal guy going forward with all kinds of talent. Alex Tuch is the perfect pro. I love Jack Quinn. You can see Paterka. They expect him to make a jump next year like some of the guys made a jump this year, like Cousins. They expect that jump next year. So they're definitely coming, and they're going to have cap room so they could overpay a free agent or a UFA to plug the holes even more. And like you said, you know, Levi's 21 years old. I mean, it's hard to come in the league and be good right away. You know, he'll turn 22 during next season, next December. So it's not like he's an 18-year-old kid or a 19-year-old kid. He's a little older. He has some experience. But, you know, he's from Quebec. Montreal is also another rebuilding team. Does he want to go there? Is that too much pressure? Carey Price is his hero. You never know what goes through these kids' minds. But I think this is the perfect organization for him. It's an organization with a lot of talent. It's an organization with high-end defensemen in front of him, Power, Dahlin, Samuelson, they hope turns into that top four guy. They're a team that on the rise, a team who's patient with a GM and a coach or a very long view guys. So I think it's just the perfect spot for him. I'm surprised it's taken this long. But again, they just want to make sure everything's right for their client and to make sure to hear what the Sabres' plan is and then think about it. Is this where you want to go? If not, force a trade or go back to school.
It's also an organization that has currently the longest playoff drought in the NHL. But things are looking better, as Joe said. From your outside perspective, coming to Buffalo, seeing the building kind of a 25 to 50% full, it seems at times we're building it up here. It's starting to get a little bit better. What you see from what Kevin Adams and Don Granato are finally doing to get this organization on track, and how important that is in the big picture for the National Hockey League, John?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know if the league cares. I don't think they really care who's good, who's not. It's just about revenue and ratings and things like that. But certainly for Buffalo, with the Bills arrived now and being a team who should be good for another 10 years because of the quarterback, to be able to piggyback on that and just kind of have a fun fall and a fun winter and then enjoy the good weather in the summer, it's just kind of, when you're a sports fan, it actually enhances your life. It enhances your experience, your mood. It just makes things more fun and exciting and to distract from the everyday grind. And so, for Buffalo, they're just in a great position. You know, Adams and Granato, I think, are in simpatico. They're a perfect pair to have to look at this. But, you know, now they're reaching the point where, okay, now what's the next step? That next step is hard. There's 32 teams. The talent is spread out. You go a long time in between draft picks. You hope to hit that draft pick. But certainly they are really in a good shape here going forward, especially if they can hit on a trade and then make the right moves going forward. And there's little holes that they plug. But, again, it really is all about the goalie at this point. This team is one really, really, really good goalie away from being a playoff team for, you know, every year for the next, 5 to 10. They're really set up that way. And it's going to be fun to watch and fun to see. The pressure only starts to build. Who do we sign? Who do we trade for? They can't keep all these young guys. Do they package them at some point and get like a Timo Meier, that kind of guy in his 26? I think now the sweet spot is to get guys who are 25, 26, 27. They don't need any more 18, 19, 20-year-olds. Those guys look like they're going to be high-end. So now it gets really fun, but also a lot of pressure on the GM and to identify the right guys and manage the cap.
The other thing that helps going forward will be if teams drop back. And do we feel like this might be it for Pittsburgh and for Washington? Pittsburgh's probably going to make it. They've gotten hot lately. But it seems like, John, that the Penguins and the Capitals are just running on fumes. And I know Washington has said they won't rebuild while Ovechkin is chasing the record. But
right.
I feel like those are the two teams I'm thinking about the most, that their spots are going to be vulnerable.
Yeah, for sure. Washington seems to be going the other way, but you're right. They gave up a number one draft pick for Sandin, who looks like a really good defenseman, a top four defenseman for sure. They'll get Carlson back next year. Kemper looks like a very good goalie. So, they inked up a Trevor Van Riemsdyk, again, another solid top four, top six guy. So, yeah, they're gonna try to see this through. But, Oshie's 35 and Ovechkin, 35, 36, Ovechkin 37, 38. Kuznetsov's still good. Backstrom's on the back end. Yeah, Wilson's still there. Maybe they trade Wilson for multiple assets. So they're still going to be a threat for sure, and a solid threat in the eighth position with a veteran team like the Penguins. But, yeah, the Red Wings are the team they have to look at. Ottawa is a team I would be very afraid of. if they can get the goalie as well. It seems like all these teams are kind of the same. They're kind of that goalie away. The Red Wings have their own first-round pick coming up in Casa, and, of course, Buffalo has Levi. So they all have these young guys. Who's going to hit? That'll make the difference with, like you said, with Ottawa, with Detroit, with Buffalo, with those teams kind of on the way up. And the other teams, you know, certainly in 4 or 5 years, you know, the Sabres could be better than the Bruins and the Capitals and the Penguins and all those teams that are currently on the – even the Rangers, as, you know, Panarin and Zibanejad and those guys age. So, no, they're in a good position, but they are with multiple teams, and it's not easy. Look at the Red Wings. Haven't won a playoff series since 2016, and, you know, it's the playoff 2016. Haven't won a playoff series since 2013. So, you know, it's hard when there's 32 teams and the same lot of teams make the playoffs every year. Then that's going to be a problem. That's why I really think the NHL will expand the playoffs soon a little bit to give a market like Buffalo and Ottawa and Detroit more hope and more payoff at the end for the season ticket holders.
Expand the playoffs because they're expanding the league? Even if Bettman says that's not happening?
Yeah, just because to get more teams in it. You know, just to say you made the playoffs. Hey, we made the playoffs. Whether it's a play-in game, whether we see what the NBA did. Just do it by a team or two in each conference. Just to give them, hey, we made the playoffs. Even if it's kind of a fake playoff, if it's not the original top eight. But even if you make it nine, I've been advocating for 15 years, have an 8-9 play-in game, doubleheader Eastern Conference, Western Conference, on the Monday to start the playoff week, just to kind of kick it off, a Monday doubleheader, and then everybody else starts on Tuesday, maybe even a back-to-back for the team that wins the playoff. Make it difficult, but have a doubleheader play-in game for 8-9. Hey, you don't want to play in that? Finish seventh. No excuses. I'm sorry. So I think that would be a way to get that 9 team in and give them a little hope down the stretch, try to fight for that 9th spot. Then these, because nothing worse than meaningless full-price ticket professional sports games. That's the worst thing. We see it in baseball in September, and now some of these hockey games. Like, expect fans to go out and spend $80 for a ticket and everything, and parking and food for a game that literally means nothing.
Yeah, and the defense for that on the NHL would be, like, the NBA has the play-in system, but 7 and 8 seeds never win in the NBA. Hockey, I mean, you could sell a team that finishes 9th on, hey, the Blue Jackets beat the best regular season team ever in 4 games, like 5 years ago. Like, you can win if you squeak in.
Yep, that's right, yeah. Exactly. And again, that's just the way it goes. And it would increase a little bit of the revenue for the players and maybe help them with their escrow and all these kinds of things. Like I said, just make more meaningful games. The American sporting public wants tournaments and wants championships and trophies. I think that's why soccer's growth continues, because they have so many trophies throughout the year. They have all kinds of different leagues. I can't even keep track, but at least they're meaningful little mini tournaments throughout the year. These long, dragged-out regular seasons don't really make much sense. Football, of course, is immune to that because it's a short regular season once a week. That's why their ratings continue to grow, because every game just about seems to matter. There's a couple at the end that don't. But, you know, these long regular seasons for basketball, hockey, and baseball, they need to try to come up with something. First half winners, second half winners, mini tournaments within divisions to create bonus point situations and playoff hunts. There's a lot you can do to create more meaningful games.
John Buccigross on the Western Hotline, ESPN, ESPN Plus. John, we have a lot of Toronto listeners, Southern Ontario, they're Bills fans, and of course, because of the hockey markets being in such proximity. You talked about the Red Wings not getting out of the first round. Obviously, a big drought up there in Toronto, Maple Leaf land as well. They have some high-priced players. They had some turnover. There's a lot of pressure. We have debated here. What happens if it happens again, John?
Yeah, it's you don't know what, you know, you never know what ownership feels like and what boards feel like. What they want to do, you know, do they fire Kyle Dubas? Do they bring someone else in? They're in a weird spot, because if they don't extend Matthews this summer and don't extend Nylander this summer, they probably have to trade them. If you want a guy trading them who you're not sure if he's going to be here in 5 years, I would think they're probably better off keeping Dubas, let him make those decisions, which really will be made by Nylander and Matthews. If Matthews doesn't want to sign an extension, then they have to trade him. Nylander is going to be another guy who's going to demand $11 million a year. You know, Marner's just about already there. I think he's going to come up in a couple of years. They have all these double-digit million-dollar guys. They can't keep them all. And so the cap's only going up $1 million, you know, next year, looks like. Maybe it'll make enough of a jump where they can keep those guys, especially if they take $1 or $2 million less. So it could depend this year on their playoff success. But, you know, maybe if they make the conference final or get to the Stanley Cup final, maybe Matthews is more apt to stay and Nylander as well, and try to keep the band together to try to win a cup or two. But it's going to be it's going to be interesting. I think they'll beat Tampa Bay in the first round. I really do. I think Tampa Bay is ready to have a year off, and I do think Toronto would win that series despite the advantage in goal. But I would think they're probably better off keeping Dubas no matter what happens, because there's such big uncertainty with Matthews and Nylander.
John, I love the fact that every night I can basically just go to the ESPN app and watch every hockey game. It's so much simpler. It's so much. It's really kind of streamlined right there. This relationship, ESPN and the NHL, I know there are a lot of questions when ESPN got it back, but it seems like it's really working out for you guys.
I guess so. Yeah, you know, I'm just a grunt. I just, you know, I wait for my paycheck once a week, and I'm just worried about me. But I do obviously want the company to succeed, and I would get the product anyway. Obviously, if I didn't work at ESPN, and you're right, it's easy, it's there. There's other programming there. It's not an additional cost to ESPN Plus, which again, there's a lot of stuff on there, and there'll be more stuff on there. So yeah, I think it's going well. I guess the ratings are up. I saw a story yesterday. And that's good. I think between us and TNT, we're giving a bigger spotlight on the sport, giving it more shine, giving it more eyeballs, with some creative, content, especially since we have when you have two rights holders, there's competition. We want to make sure we try to beat them and they try to beat us. You know, for so many years, hockey only had one rights holder because you could afford it. And that's not really great. You want competition. You want to look over your shoulder, and you want leverage too, which is good for people in our business. So, I think it's going pretty well. Year two of the 7-year deal. And TNT gets the finals this year. We go back and forth. We had it in year one. We'll have it for 4 years. They'll have it for three. So TNT has the finals this year. We'll be done after the conference finals, which is going to feel kind of weird. But, overall, I think it is easier. Hopefully it continues to get easier. They fix some of these blackout rules and make it even easier for the customers.
If competition breeded the Big City Greens Classic, then I'm all in. Right. Are we getting more? Sal, if you don't know that this is the animated NHL game from the other day.
I heard about it. I know there was something. I haven't watched it. I have to go watch it. I know Shope and the Bulldog were all over it laughing the other day about it. Absolutely.
I want more of them, John.
Yeah. It did look pretty cool. Maybe do a Star Wars character one, a Toy Story
Ooh,
one.
Ooh, yeah.
I think it's endless. I don't know how expensive it is. So obviously you gotta this stuff could be expensive and you need to sell it and make sure it pays the bills. But I think that kind of stuff is happening. I think it's cool. And I think the sport is in a pretty good position. It's tough. Lots of competition out there. Only more things happening. Here comes pickleball, even trying to slice up America's eyeballs even more. So it is hard. If you just stay flat, you're actually winning nowadays. And so the league is tough. You can't rest, and it's a grind every day for all these professional sports leagues, all these television networks, streaming services, radio stations, you know, internet sites. It's tough. It's only getting more and more slicier by the day.
Well, John, we thank you for joining us, and I know that anytime you come to Buffalo, there's a lot of different options for your chicken parm. You know, a lot of places you can go. Yeah. Great restaurants here.
Absolutely. I love it. I can't wait to be back. I won't be back this year, it looks like, so all done this year. But I've been having 3 or 4 games a year, so yeah. I'm looking forward to being back next year.
John, thanks for doing this today. We really appreciate it. Be well, man.
Anytime, boys. Peace.
Okay, that is John Buchagos, ESPN. Okay, tell me the Big Greens thing. I don't know. I saw like clips of an animated ice rink. I don't know what. Explain this to me.
Essentially what it was. Yeah, you said it was like an animated hockey game, which like it almost looked like a video game kind of, but it was just exactly what was happening in the Capitals Rangers game, but they were animated on a different stream. So
this is literally a live mirror, except for animated.
Yes. So I'll show, terrible for an audio medium only, but I'm showing Sal right now the side-by-side of the animated game versus the live game.
It's literally synced up then.
It's synced up, but it's like cartoon characters.
Wow.
So like when he says Toy Story characters.
I didn't realize that this was what it was. What I just thought it was someone created like a game and it was like super cool so people were watching it. I didn't know it was the reflection of an actual game.
It was the reflection of an actual live game that was going on. They were streaming on Disney Plus.
This has got to be like the new frontier, right?
Yeah. I mean, he just said, right? Toy Story characters could be next. How about Lego? A Lego NHL game?
Well, I will tell you,
Joe. The Sabres and whoever. You got Lego Alex Tuck scoring a goal.
All right. You know what? We're at the break. When I come back, I want to say something about video games now and where we are and how all this is working.
Because this is going to be an old man. It's going to be an old man rant. Okay.
No, I think the opposite actually.
Okay.
I think I'm going to be like, you're going to think I'm going to be 50 in like 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I think my take is what most normal about to be 50-year-olds would not tell you, but I will tell you when we come back on WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.